Today on Triangulation, I'm talking to George Yanni, co-founder and head of technology for Philips Hue, and we talk all about smart lighting.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This is Triangulation, episode number 376, recorded Friday, November 5th, for Friday, December 14th. George Yanni, head of technology for Hue. Welcome to Triangulation. This is a show where we talk to some of the most interesting people working in technology today. I am Megan Maroney, and I am honored today to talk to George Yanni. He is the founder, the inventor of the Hue Connected Light, and he's currently head of technology at Philips Hue. Welcome to the show. Yeah,
very happy to be here.
So I want to start with your background, how you got involved in this. Did you have a clapper when you were little?
I actually didn't have a clapper. And actually, like a lot of people, I didn't really think at all about the lights in my house until I started working in the industry. I studied theoretical physics. So I specialized in how very simple rules for very small things can kind of add up to make this big macro behavior. So it's kind of systems thinking. After university, I decided that I wanted to do something a bit more practical. And I found the lighting industry. And what I really liked about the lighting industry, back then, back in early 2000s, was they were still focused on making light. It was, bending metal, blowing glass, discharge physics to make big light sources. And they hadn't really done anything with software, with embedded systems. And I just saw that there was a lot of potential to take all of these advances that, were happening in other industries and change how people use lights. So that's how I kind of came into lighting control systems.
I mean, it's funny, before I started thinking about the smart home, I also didn't give that much thought to lights. Like, I love technology, I love gadgets, so, when I first heard about smart lights, I thought, well, that's amazing to be able to, show off to your friends, look, I can use my phone to turn my lights off and on. But starting to think about lights, lighting is so important. I mean, it's important to your health. I mean, obviously, it changed the world when we had electric lights. I know you've said before that, like, being able to control your lights can help you take care of your health. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I think, like, people don't think about lighting, right? But it's actually an amazing thing. There is no other product in our lives which is everywhere around us. If you think about it, there's literally nothing you do which isn't underneath an artificial light point. When you're sleeping, there's a light bulb. When you're at work, there's a light bulb. When you're driving down the streets, there's a light bulb above you. And so it's actually a bit strange that we don't think about these things. So there's a lot of potential to do things with them. And there's a lot of impact the light has. If you have a think about what life would be like if you took light bulbs away, and number one, you wouldn't be able to do anything in the evenings. But also, we use lights to make our homes homely, to make them a cozy, pleasant place to be. We use lights to make us feel safe. If you imagine was walking into a dark house, not being able to turn on the light, how would you know it was lurking in the shadows? And there's things that, even more things people don't know. So light has quite a profound effect on our brain chemistry. So we evolved under the sun. The sun changes color during the day. And so our brains expect that. They expect, a warm, cozy light in the evening, and it actually triggers our brains to get ready for sleep. In the middle of the day, you need a bright, cold, bluish white light, which is, what tells our brains now it's time to be alert, go hunting and gathering. And that kind of evolutionary stuff has come over. And it actually causes quite some problems that we're under this static artificial light during the day. Mm-hmm. Makes us irregular.
Yeah. Yeah. I hadn't thought of it too. I did a smart home show and my co-host experienced migraines and she used Hue to help her with that. And it really, like, Super. It was important to have this exact color of light in order for her to feel healthy.
Has a huge amount more effect than people realize. If you have lights that change during the day, it can really change how you feel.
Yeah. Okay, so you have these two advanced degrees from Cambridge, theoretical physics and natural sciences, and you go to work for a light company. And this is way before the Hue lights, obviously, because you invented them. What did everyone say when you said, I'm going to work on lighting? What did your parents say? Who would...
I think, people think okay, I know what light bulbs are. That's interesting. And these are products that we have all around us. But I don't think anyone really thought I would be doing what I am doing today. I mean, if you think of the lighting industry 10 years ago, I mean, when was the last time you thought about a light bulb? It's probably when, you know, your incandescent burnt out and you had to go to this, you know, nameless shelf in a Home Depot, mm-hmm. And find an equivalent bulb, and then you'd forget about it again for another year until it broke again. But the pace of change in lighting has been huge, so it's actually completely changed itself. Light bulbs don't burn out after a year anymore, and yeah, of course now with things like Hue, light bulbs are not just something that you know, only engage with when they break. They're things that, you know, actually you can customize, personalize, make part of your interior decoration. Mm-hmm. So now people are very excited about what I do, and I do a good job, I think, of telling everyone that they should think more about lighting, and there's a lot more that it can do. And if they're, you know, just you know, using dumb bulbs and switching them on and off, then they're kind of wasting that space in their ceiling.
Mm-hmm. So 2007 is when you started at Hue, and then the lights were launched in 2012?
Yeah, so I started at Philips Lighting back in 2007. Uh-huh. I spent some time working on a bunch of other products. I did some control systems for streetlights to help save energy, for offices to help save energy. I did some experiments in hotel rooms for ambience creation. And when I really first found something that I really loved was actually a product that we made, I think, way back in 2008, 2009. It was called Living Colors. And it was like this big ball that shone a little bit of light on the wall that you controlled with a remote. And that could do colors. And I found it really interesting the way, despite, you know, it's not giving any direction, people were doing really interesting things with it. Mm. So that was kind of the trigger to say, okay, this is great, but the fact that we just sell it with this remote control means it only ever does one thing, right? You know, its functionality is just determined and fixed by this little remote that we sell with it. And I thought, okay, so how can we change that? And that was about the same time that the first iPhones were coming out. And I was like, okay, well, what we can do is we can have like software-defined interaction with lighting, and that lets us really innovate and evolve and change over time. And that's really what we wanted to do. We wanted to, you know, experiment with people, give them new capabilities, and in that way change how people interacted with lighting. So in some ways, it was the reason we started here was born out of a frustration that consumers were not thinking about lighting in their homes. Right? Mm-hmm. It was just on and off. And that's because they weren't empowered to do more. Right? And that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to open people's eyes to, you know, the kind of limitless possibilities of what lighting can do in your home.
And so you always had an open API, right? You started with the open API. And then was it first, could you just use it with on iOS at first?
No. So from the beginning, it was iOS and Android. Okay. People get confused about that because we actually launched only in Apple stores.
Okay, got it.
This is one of the most crazy things on our launch, that you could buy light bulbs in Apple stores. And that got a lot of attention. But it was available from the beginning. The API was always open for people to use. We really focused on making it as frictionless as possible. So it was kind of a permissionless API. You could just go to the website and you could see how it worked. And actually, we had people who had reverse engineered additional apps 3 days after we'd launched, before we'd even published the documentation. And a lot of richness has come from that.
I mean, it is interesting because I feel like a lot of products could take a lesson from that, because there's so now what the real frustration with smart homes is the closed system. It only works this, only works with that, and that only works with this, and I can't, you know, do that. But you early on, why do you think more people don't have that open API?
So I mean, it's scary. It's scary. So you've created a product, you have a certain vision of how it's going to use. We also had a vision of how it was going to be used. And you basically like, you know, throw it to the wolves to see what they will actually make of it. And you know, it's difficult because you lose control. Maybe it can be confusing. I mean, there are a lot of apps out there, over 700 integrations of Philips Hue, and you know, not all of them are good. Some of them confuse and hurt rather than help. But you know, on balance, you know, I really believe the way to make, you know, the Internet of Things a real thing is to be really open and, you know, enable this kind of permissionless innovation, right? Mm-hmm. You want people to not have to ask to do something creative and new. That's how you get the most novel, wacky things. Like, who are we to judge if something is a good idea or not? Other people know their parts of the world much better than us. And I think there's some great examples from the community where that's happened.
Mm-hmm. So when you say some apps hurt rather than help, do you mean from a security perspective, or just like they're kind of they have the Hue name, but they're not the best, and they might cost, you know, $9.99 or something?
So I think there haven't been any cases where there've really been, you know, security problems with some of these apps, luckily. But okay, that is something that's always a risk. Mm-hmm. But we try and make that difficult to do by the way the API is designed. I think it's more that there are some apps which you use and they don't give you a great experience, mm-hmm. and that maybe puts you off doing the other use cases. We've moved a bit towards having a kind of a curated list of the best apps that we promote inside our own app, so we can, you know, drive traffic to the really good apps, which also encourages the developers to build new things. Mm-hmm. But I think there's more examples where they've really, really surprised us, right? So my favorite example, actually, of an app which really surprised us is about a year after we launched, we got contacted by a company from New York called Convo. And Convo was a company that did live transcription for deaf people. Mm. So basically, you would use their app to have a video chat with one of their agents, who would then make a phone call on your behalf. So suddenly, deaf people could have phone calls with normal people. And they had a great product, successful, had a very engaged user group. And what they did is they said, my God, these lights, these are things that look beautiful inside our homes, and they solve a problem because they can be ringtones. So for the first time ever, they built an integration in their app, and suddenly the deaf community had personalized ringtones. So when someone called them, they didn't have this big medical flashing light that lit the whole house. They could have, you know, a subtle color dynamic, you know, for the person that was calling them. Mm-hmm. And that was something which, you know, we'd have never thought of. It's a small audience. We don't know exactly what should be made, but, you know, this company, that's their specialism. They saw an opportunity, and, you know, they didn't have to ask us to go do it. They went and did it, and then they contacted us, and we helped them promote it and tell the story, because it was a great story. But that's the kind of thing you want, right? You want this kind of permissionless innovation.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it's a good lesson, too. I mean, for something like, I mean, Apple is a very good example of a pretty closed. I mean, obviously, you can use Hue lights with iOS, but they themselves are rather closed. And then so they're cutting off all these, you know, great ideas because of fear. It sounds like you're saying that it can be scary to release that out there.
It can be scary to let people do everything. And mm-hmm. and to be clear, we don't let people do everything, right? You know, we're not letting people tinker with the software that runs on the bulbs.
Right.
That then, you know, we'd worry that they'd be able to, you know, damage the lifetime of the bulbs and those things.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a very clear area where we say, here, you don't have to ask for permission. Mm-hmm. Here, we keep it to ourselves because that's what we need to make it reliable, secure. But still, it's enough to help, you know, create this ecosystem of new functionality.
So if someone's looking for an app, maybe just searching for Hue in the App Store isn't as effective as going to the main Hue app and looking for the apps that you've already curated. If you're looking for another app, you guys have curated some good stuff.
So you kind of sort, of course, search for Hue in the App Store. You can find things there, but we've made this section in the app called Apps We Like, mm-hmm. Which are the apps that, you know, we know work reasonably well. We have them nicely categorized. So if you're looking mm-hmm. for something for Halloween, we can show you what's there. So it helps people find more things. And in the end, like smart lights, I mean, I think the first question most people have is, you know, why do I need a smart light?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, you know, that's an interesting question, because actually there's a lot of reasons you might want a smart light, and which one makes sense to you really depends. So, you know, we've chosen a few that we really focus on as the core of our app. You know? So we talk about making your home beautiful and more flexible with light. We talk about making your home feel safe with light. We talk about helping you get the biological benefits of light, and help you sleep better, help you get energy during the day. And we talk about how you can use light to enhance entertainment experiences in your home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we kind of focus and talk about. But you can't talk about all of those all at once. Suddenly
right.
It becomes overwhelming. It becomes the do-everything product, and no one understands that. So we really try and focus it. And then once you're in the ecosystem, then we can kind of guide you to discover more. So we try and have this kind of journey of discovery for smart lights.
Right.
And, you know, the partnerships that we have, the developer community is kind of part of that journey of discovery as you want to do more with the system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it really, it also probably sells itself in some ways. I know I have a book club full of, 40-ish women, and one of the women totally out, did the whole Hughified her husband Hughified his man cave is what he did. Mm-hmm. And so she brought us all in there and showed us off. And it was like, here's this picture they took of the sunset on their honeymoon. And then they used that picture in the Hue app that lets you do it. And it was like everyone was like, oh, wow. And, whereas that's maybe not what I would do with Hue lights, but it impressed all of them. So, it's interesting. So I want to get back to the invention of it, the 2011, 2012. I mean, was it your idea, or was it a group, I know there are other co-founders. And so how did that come? Was it a light bulb above your head? Talk a little bit about the invention process.
Yeah. So I think, so Philips is a fantastic innovation company. We've had a long string of innovations. We started mass producing light bulbs 125 years ago. So there's, a lot of richness and knowledge in the company. And so we didn't invent things from scratch, right? So the knowledge of, what lighting can do, what it can mean for people, how it can affect their bodies, that all existed within the company, as well as a lot of kind of building blocks that we needed. And I think what we really did, and as the kind of the Hue venture, it was an internal startup within the company, was to glue that together in a easy to use and experience way. And so that was really the goal. And we were quite lucky in how it started. So a model you don't see so often, mm-hmm. that we have this kind of internal startup that can still leverage the capability and skills of the big company. I think Philips did that really, really well. And we were basically given the goal to say, okay, how can we get all of this richness that we know and have researched that really adds value towards people, and how can we make that accessible towards normal consumers, normal people? So that was kind of the challenge we were given. Here is all this stuff that we know we can do and we know has this effect, right? How can we make it mean something for consumers, and not only for, big, installations in shopping malls and on buildings and, all this, high-end stuff. We took that challenge and we said, okay, so what do we need to do this? So the focus was really on easy, right? Easy to use, but also easy to understand the use cases. So we did a lot of research. We tested about 100 different use cases for lighting that we had from various parts of the company, and decided on those four that we spoke about at the beginning. And we also said, okay, so how are people going to use this? Right? So smart lighting in your home, actually, you've been able to do that for 20, 30 years. Mm-hmm. It's involved, a man with a van coming to your house, cutting open your walls, laying wires, and normally a $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 bill. Right? We said, okay, that's not the way to get this to be a mainstream thing. If we want it to be a mainstream thing, it needs to be as easy as installing a light bulb. Right? So a lot of the effort and the technology we did was about, how can we actually take the technology to make controllable lights and squeeze that into a normal bulb form factor. And that was really actually back in 2012, that was the edge of what was possible with technology. Squeezing a little radio, lots of these LEDs, which can then change color, handling that with the heat dissipation. Well, that was really on the edge. So a lot of effort went into that. And then we had to think, okay, so we have this light bulb now that we can control. And we have the four use cases that we want to do. How can we talk about this? How can we make this easy? And so then went into a long list of things we wanted to do. Yeah? But, like any good startup, we try and make our minimum viable product first and then iterate from there. And so we decided to start with a mobile application as the way of interacting with your home. And a lot of that was because of we wanted to make a clear message that lighting was now something completely different. Mm-hmm. Right? So, we could have made our lives much, much easier by starting with a dimmable bulb and a remote control. right? That would have been hugely much easier project. But then would have we have, you know, got the listing on the Apple shelves? Would have we been able to, you know, make this statement? Okay, guys, you thought you knew lighting. Actually, now lighting has completely changed. And, you know, full color tunability. You go into a house and you see a light bulb that's a cyan tone, mm-hmm. right? No one's ever seen that before. You immediately know it's something different. You pull out your smartphone and you, you know, take a picture of a sunrise and you create a light setting from that. That's something totally new. It makes people rethink. And of course, from there, we iterated. We knew smart switches made sense. We knew, you know, cheaper dimmable bulbs made sense. And so in that way, we could iterate towards a final product, which, you know, is now an ecosystem we have now with 700 applications, about 120 form factors. Now you can really do whatever you want with lighting in your home.
And then around 2015 is when the Amazon came out, and that sort of changed things as well. I mean, how did was that something you were expecting? And how does controlling lights with your voice change the experience?
Yeah, so that was indeed quite a moment in, I think, for the whole of smart home. It's all about how you interact with your home. Yeah? And apps are great, yeah? Because they give you real depth of precision of, you know, tweaking, tuning, creating, discovering. Mm-hmm. But they are not the fastest way to get to that one thing that you want, right? On the other side, you have switches, buttons, right? Those are fantastic for very quickly getting to what you want. But if you want more than one or two things, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And voice did a fantastic job of kind of being in between those two. It's a great interface for choosing like a big range of different things, right? With a very quick interaction. And I think initially that's what voice really did. It made it easy for people to get more richness out of the system. And next to that, these guys have done a fantastic job of helping to market and raise awareness of these kind of products. You know, in general, voice has proven to be a very, it's easy to understand why this is new, why this is exciting use case. So it's been a real catalyst for driving the growth. I think voice will have a role to play in controlling our homes. I don't think it's the only way. I don't think it's the ultimate interface towards your home. I think it's very hard to beat buttons mm-hmm. As, you know, an easy way to interact with your home. There's a reason we've been controlling lights in our homes with a wall switch for the last 100 years. So I think they're here to stay. It's just we will make them smarter, more easy to use, more flexible, and they will coexist with voice and with apps.
Mm-hmm. So we had a question. I asked on Twitter for questions. We had a question from Patrick about price, mm-hmm. and you know, and in the beginning, how hard was it to go into a room and say, here, you know, these bulbs, and they're going to cost. I'm not sure how much they cost in the beginning. How much were they?
So the original color tunable Hue bulbs were $60.
$60. So how hard was it to say, and then, I mean, obviously it's worked, but how hard at the time, how did you convince the people that had to support this that you were going to sell this bulb
for
$60?
Yeah, so we obviously had some doubters that this was feasible, but it was a combination of like disbelief, but also excitement, mm-hmm. right? Because I think that the challenge that we'd always had with lighting is, you know, how do you create engagement with the product? Right? If people don't engage with the product and think about the purchase, right, then you can never sell the value it creates. Right? And, you know, the promise that we had with Hue was, okay, this is what we're going to change. We're going to make people think about lighting, think about the purchase, understand the value. So in that sense, you know, they saw it as a way, you know, out of this, you know, continuous push for kind of commoditization. Everything goes to the, you know, the lowest spec and price. So they were excited about that. But still, you know, people, you know, had in the industry had this, you know, mindset that, you know, you can only sell products in volume if they're really cheap. Mm-hmm. But they gave us the chance to prove it, right? So they saw the upside of that to be sufficiently strong that they should give us that chance. So they gave us that chance. I mean, they did it in a venture mindset, so there was a, you know, a finite amount of money that we could experiment with. But luckily, you know, we launched back in October 2012. And within 3 days, we'd sold out of the amount of stock that we would been allowed to produce at the beginning. And that, you know, showed that there was the demand. And from there, we'd ramp up. So it's like all good companies. You experiment and you scale from there.
And so there's been a lot. There's many different smart lights on the market now. Lots of clones, and even Amazon has one that they announced. I'm not sure if it's out yet. I mean, what do you see your place in the market?
So we're really trying to be the company which drives forward what smart lighting means. Mm-hmm. Right? So we don't want to just provide light bulbs that can be controlled by other systems. We want to keep pushing the boundary of what smart lighting means inside the home. Right? So that's why we continue to push our own system, which integrates very well with everyone else, but we don't just sell the light bulbs. Mm-hmm. So we want to keep doing things like what we recently did with entertainment. Mm-hmm. And we released a whole new capability in the Hue system, which synchronizes the lights towards things on a screen. Mm-hmm. So you can get this immersive entertainment experiences. That's something that we want to drive, across the whole experience, right? So, we need the applications, the system, and the lights for that. So, in that sense, we want to stay, on the cutting edge of the innovation, mm-hmm. right? So, we want to be the kind of the thought leaders in terms of what smart lighting means, and we invest very heavily for that. That said, right, we also think that we're uniquely placed with the scale we have as an overall company. We're active everywhere in lighting. A lot of the other players are not. Mm-hmm. To offer Hue capable light for anywhere inside your home, right? So whether you want lights for your garden, for your bathroom, and for your living room, we have those form factors. We have those beautiful integrated fixtures. And in that way, if you go with Hue, then you definitely can have everything in your home covered and compatible with that. So, we're going for being the richest and the most complete offer. Right? Doesn't mean we need to be the most expensive. Right? Doesn't mean we will be the cheapest. But we think we can create a lot of value beyond just being the cheapest basic bulb, which is what some people are going after.
Mm-hmm. And so why did Zigbee? Why the Zigbee platform?
So this was a big study when we started with Hue. So what is the right technology to use this? I think if I made the choice again today, I would still go for Zigbee. Mm-hmm. It's all about making it easy. All right? So the great thing about Zigbee is every light bulb can retransmit the signal. So unlike Wi-Fi, where things have to be in range of your router, mm-hmm. with Zigbee, every light bulb is its own repeater. So it doesn't matter where you place things in your home, doesn't matter how big your house is, as long as you have lights reasonably well spaced over your home, it will work and it will organize itself to make it work reliably. So that's a great facet of Zigbee, which, to be honest, none of the other technologies really have at the moment. Next to that, unlike things like Wi-Fi, it's low power enough that you can have a 2-year battery life on a motion sensor or on a switch. It's cheap enough that we can sell a $15 dimmable light bulb. So it's a great fit for kind of smart home use kits, especially things like lighting where you have a lot of products all over your home. So that's what it is, and we think it's still the best choice.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of smart home products now are saying, well, you don't need a hub, you don't need a bridge, but Hue, you still need a bridge. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
So it's a combination of things. Yeah? So in the end, we think a bridge makes it easier, right? If you go out and buy any of those other products which don't need a bridge, and you time how long it takes you to set it up, I think 9 times out of 10, Hue will come out way ahead. By having a bridge, like you have a single thing you have to manage, right? That bridge handles all the security, all the connections, all of your functionality. So you literally just have to plug that in. It comes prepaired with the light bulbs, and it just works, right? No one else can say that. They have to mess around with transferring Wi-Fi credentials to bulbs or mm-hmm. typing in Bluetooth PIN codes. And if you go out of range, it doesn't work. Like you can make things really easy by concentrating it. And we've actually been able to innovate a lot faster by having this place inside the home where we run functionality. So your schedules, the way your switches and sensors behave, even the way that lighting scenes, you can change a whole room in one go. That functionality all sits inside the bridge. And that allows things to be super fast because you don't have to go out to the cloud to get information every time you do things. It allows it to work 100% reliable even if your internet's down, which is still not 100% reliable everywhere in the world. Right? And it's much more secure because things don't have to leave your home. So we actually think the bridge makes sense for now. It makes it easier. It makes it better. Right? We're not married to having a box in the home. Right? So if there is the opportunity to run that functionality somewhere else, we would look into that. But for now, we really think it's the best way to make the best product as easy to experience as possible.
Do you still need a bridge if you have the Echo Plus that has Zigbee inside?
No, so the Echo Plus is one of the few examples where you can directly pair it. And effectively there, a lot of the bridge functionality sits inside the Echo Plus. And there you can get the basic functionality, but you can't get a lot of the added features that we have inside our bridge. So like the entertainment stuff won't work until you later add a bridge, and we make it easy for people to upgrade. But it's good for a first experience. We also sell what we call the recipe kit, which is a small remote control and a light bulb, which lets you toggle through color temperatures of light. So it's a great way to just get ambience creation in one room as a starting point. But of course, if you want to do your whole home, get the full features, then you can easily go towards a bridge. That's a bit our philosophy. So we believe in these simple bridgeless systems, which can then be upgraded over time, part of this journey of discovery we spoke about before, towards richer experiences.
Right. And so the bridge just in the last couple of years became compatible with HomeKit?
So we were one of the first HomeKit accessories that launched. I think that was back in 2015 as well, maybe 14. Yeah. Not quite a while ago. So we were one of the first products there. So we rolled out a new bridge for that. Another great example of having a bridge. Like other companies who wanted to become compatible with HomeKit, they had to roll out new lights.
Right.
But because we had a bridge, you just had to replace that one component and the 20, 30 lights you had in your home would keep working. We've been able to have even the first bulbs that we made way back in 2012 still be compatible with everything we have today with all of the features through software updates and the fact that the bridge kind of handles that interoperability.
So is there any talk of being, you will only do lights, right? I know you've expanded into lots of different kinds of lights and experiences, but is there talk of any other aspects of the smart home that aren't light?
Yeah, so this was a big discussion and decision we had quite early on after we launched Hue. So first of all, it was just, we do lights because, we have to launch our MVP, prove that this makes sense first. But of course, one of the first questions that came, should we not do, a thermostat, a plug, a camera, all of these things? And we decided that no, we didn't want to do that. We wanted to stay focused on where, we were unfairly disadvantaged, unfairly advantaged to win, right? So, we have 125 years of history, research, experience in lighting. That's what we know. If we focus on that, we can do the best job in the world of anyone about making lighting experiences. And there are lots of other companies out there who are in the same position, but for home security or for heating or for energy management. Why would we try and compete with them? Why do we not partner? So we have a very strong partnership team, and their job is to go out into the world and say, who are the leaders who are owning the home security proposition? Let's go talk to them and work out how we can make their home security story better with lighting. And that's how you get the partnerships we have with Comcast or many other companies that we work with.
And so let's talk a little bit about some of the new products. Let's start with the outdoor products. You guys released in this fall a whole bunch of new outdoor products. Talk a little bit about those products.
So was one of the areas of the home that we didn't do, and we want to do everything. And so we put a lot of energy into, what makes sense for outdoor lighting? And one of the things we actually were getting back from consumers that drove us to accelerate this part of the portfolio was, I'm relaxing in the evening, I set my favorite scene, and I look out onto this dark void through the window. Right? Why can I not, have my garden, be an extension of my living space? That's something that I can enjoy, all through the year, all through the night. And so people really wanted to say, how can I make my home more beautiful, use the garden as an extension of my home? That was one side. And then the other side is security, right? So, you know, I'm afraid what's lurking in the trees, in the shadows. You know, if I hear a noise in the night, I want to be able to see what's going on. You know, as I come into my driveway, I don't want, like, driving through the dark. I want to have my garden lit to invite me home so that I always feel safe around my home. So those were the two things we really focused on. And so we, you know, the engineers and designers, they spent a lot of time thinking, okay, what are the right products for this? And so, you know, that led to the range of products we have. So now we have these beautiful outdoor light strips, which you can use to kind of highlight design features, contours, paths inside your garden. We have these bollards, which can light up paths. We have spotlights, which can, you know, illuminate trees and other features to really make your home beautiful. And then we have some functional white-only products, which, you know, really are focused on just, you know, giving you, you know, lots of light, you know, so that you can see what you're doing, so you can see what's in your garden. So that's been fantastic. We also marry that with partnership integrations, right? So, you know, we did a lot of work with, for example, Nest's outdoor products, mm-hmm. So that, you know, if their camera detects something in your garden, then you can turn on the lights in the garden. To enhance that proposition. But it's been really great. The reception to the outdoor products has been fantastic. People are really excited to see what they can do with lighting in their gardens, because, again, it's been a trigger for people to think, yeah, that's right, actually. You know, my garden is this dark, scary space at night. And, you know, why is that? Yeah. So it's been a really nice launch for us to see how people are using things in new areas of their home. So I think now... this year we launched the last two rooms we hadn't done before. So we did outdoor and we also did bathrooms.
Yeah. I'm very excited about the bathroom mirror light. Yeah. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So bathroom is actually a great place for white tunable light. So if you think about what you do in your bathroom, there's a few things, right? So in the morning, yeah, that's probably the first place you go, mm-hmm. To help start getting you woken up, right? So you need light that helps you become alert and awake, prepared for the day. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a cold, bluish light. Like I said before, that activates, you know, hunter-gatherer instincts. I'm alert, ready for the day, helps you see what you're doing, right? Now, if you go into the bathroom in the evening, it's probably, you know, to relax and unwind in the bath, mm-hmm. you know, forget about the day, start preparing for sleep. And you need a completely different kind of light. And for that, you need a dim, you know, reddish tone, almost like candlelight, right? And most people, they don't have that option, mm-hmm. right? They have to choose for something which is inadequate for both those purposes, right? But by having connected lights, you can completely solve that problem, right? So you walk in the morning, you have the cold blue light. You walk in the evening, you can set that spa-like experience. You walk in the middle of the night, the motion sensor notices you and puts on just the smallest amount of dim reddish light to help you not stumble over things, yeah? But not interfere with your sleep.
Right.
So there's a lot of really great kind of biological benefits, use cases you can do in the bathroom, you know, now that we have the bathroom capable products. And that mirror is also one of my favorite products we launched recently, because it does a great job of giving you those benefits, you know, with indirect light. Mm. Right. So you get this soft indirect light from all angles, not glary, which is exactly what you want if you are struggling painfully to get up and get awake in the morning.
Right. So does it have a sensor built in, or you have to use an external sensor for that?
So we didn't build it in, so we have a separate motion sensor. Uh-huh. We launched back in 2016, which you can use out of water splash range in the bathroom, which a lot of people use.
So do you find that most people use the app or a switch or voice or timers? I mean, what's your most...
Yeah, it's a whole mixture. It's a whole mixture. So most people, they start with the app and or voice.
Uh-huh.
Right? So those two is quite a common starting point. So a lot of people are using voice to interact with their homes. A lot of people are, you know, creating the content with the app and then recalling it with voice.
Uh-huh.
But that's how people get started. How they end up using it, you see a lot more people migrating towards switches.
Mm-hmm.
Switches, sensors. When people get started with those, they realize just how easy that is.
Right.
They realize that they missed their light switches. Really transforms the daily ease of use of it.
Yeah.
Sensors as well. If you have a place where you You walk in and you just want light. It's magic to just walk in and have the right light depending on the time of day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just simple things like this, going to the bathroom in the night use case.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to do with a motion sensor, and you will forget it's working, but you will appreciate it every single time.
Yeah.
So people evolve in different ways. Switches, timers is more something people discover into. Yeah. While people tend to start playing with the app and voice as kind of the fun show off use cases, which are for some people become a little bit impractical for daily use, and then switches, timers, sensors are what they go to.
So what you're saying is we're not really good at knowing what we want. Like, we think we want to control our lights with our voice or with an app, but what we really actually do is use the switches or the timers or the...
Yeah, so I mean, it varies person by person, right? So some people, they go full into using voice as the way they interact with their home. Many people do that, right? And it's a fantastic way to interact with your homes. There are people who realize that every single day when they're walking into their living room, they say the same thing to this little box on their counter, and they think, okay, maybe there's a better way.
Yeah.
A sensor, a button, a timer can solve the same problem with a fraction of the daily effort.
Right. So it really depends on how our brains work, which obviously is very different.
Depends how your brains work.
Yeah.
Yep.
And different members of the family. I know I use voice on our lights. My husband uses the switch. That's his thing.
Yep.
Yeah. So what about if this then that, IFT? I know that you're really popular. Lots of recipes there. What are some of your favorite recipes that you've seen, the most creative things people have seen? And it doesn't have to be with IFT, with anything.
No, so I mean, I love IFT just because it's kind of a bridge in between, using a kind of pre-canned app and developing something yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's this kind of middle ground where you can let normal people make what they want to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so you get a lot of weird and wacky things out of that. So my favorite use case, I think, maybe because I use it myself, and I find it very useful, is that, I have the light in the porch of my house, right, next to where my jacket is hanging up, and it's just a different color in the morning, depending on what I need to take with me. If I need to take my rain jacket, I need to take my warm coat, if I can just go in my t-shirt. I find that just super useful. You don't have to think about it. It just adds value.
Right.
Right? I think the funnest things that I see are really the sports team stuff. It's just always fun to see, on Twitter, on Facebook, the crazy light scenes that people make for their favorite sports team scoring, and the action shots of the lights going wild as the party that's gathering for game night goes wild. I think that's just so fun, and people really go in for that.
Yeah. Okay, we're getting towards the holiday season. We're certainly getting very close to the holiday buying season. What do you recommend as like a starter? So if there's someone, first of all, do you recommend buying as a gift these smart lights, or do you think it's something that people really have to go in on their own?
So I think lighting is the way to get started in smart home. Right, just because with lighting by itself, you can create a lot of value. You can add a lot to your home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you buy a smart lock, right, you're going to pay someone. You can have a lot of pain getting it installed in your home. You're going to press a button in the app, and it's going to go, and that's all it's ever going to do. Right, you don't have that with lighting. There's a lot of richness, a lot of value over time, but also fun you can have with it at the beginning. So I think the things people have to think about is they think, Why am I excited about smart lighting? What's the use case that makes sense for me? Because in the end, people aren't excited about a smart light bulb. They're excited about what it can do, right? So, if the story that makes sense to you is, I want to make my home more beautiful, I want to personalize it so that it's really my own, right? Then I think you can't do better than one of the white and color ambient starter kits.
Mm-hmm.
Gives you enough light bulbs to light a whole room, right? And really gives you the ability to then, tweak so that the accent lights you have in the corner of your room exactly matches the color of your display cushions, and then it's something personal and yours. And then, if you are now going to use that same space to maybe do some work, you can still get the great functional light to help you do what you need, what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really a great way to get started. And if you want to have a bit more fun and show off, I would always, you know, throw in one of the simpler voice assistants, you know, Google Home Mini, an Echo Dot. I think that is a fantastic way to get started in your smart home. Mm-hmm. If what resonates with you is, I hate coming home to a dark house, right? Then you can get started very cheaply with a white starter kit. So again, put some of these simple white bulbs, you know, on your porch, in your hallway, right? And turn on the geofencing feature in our app. And as you pull into your driveway every day, the lights will be on to welcome you, right? You'll never have to walk into a dark house again, right? That is great peace of mind that you can get pretty affordably in your home. If what makes sense to you is you have trouble sleeping, right? Then we have the middle one, the white ambience, tunable bulbs, middling price. Put a few of those on your bedside table lamps and set a timer in the app to wake you up in the morning. And don't wake up with a blaring alarm. Wake up with light, which is much more natural and makes you feel great in the morning, right? And then I think if you love the idea of, you know, having, you know, the room around you explode when you know, your favorite when you're winning your favorite PC game and you're shooting people and the world's exploding and you want to be immersed in that, then I think we have some great new products that we've launched recently, which are specifically designed for kind of this screen expanding synchronized experience. So we have these Hue Play Luminaires, these little light bars. We sell them in kits of two of them, which have one plug you put next to your computer screen, right? And then you run Hue Sync, which is this application we have for PCs. And then everything you do on your PC, you will have your whole room be part of it. And it is, I think you have to see it to really believe it, but it is super amazingly immersive. Don't go out and spend money on a surround sound system. Surround lighting is way cooler.
And so that's can be used with like watching Netflix movies and stuff too. Do people do that?
So at the moment, this application has to run on a computer or a Mac. So a PC or a Mac doesn't run on TVs yet. We're looking at ways to get it working on as many places as possible. But for now, it's restricted to PCs. But anything you do on your PC, you can get to work. So if you're watching Netflix on your TV or of a media center, if you're playing PC games, YouTube, all of that will work.
Mm-hmm. And so what about like for gardeners? Would you recommend can you buy the garden outdoor lights just one off, or are they a big set?
No, so you can buy them one at a time. They have kits. I think we sell kits with three of the spots or a few of the bollards, or you can buy them individually. Mm-hmm. You have to add a bridge separately so that you can control it all. But that's also a nice way. You know, if the security things make sense, then there are lights which are really designed for that. You know, if you have that, you know, favorite, you know, shrub in your garden or tree that you just want to, you know, admire out of the window at night, then get some Hue Lily spots. I think those are my favorite of the outdoor spots. So it's really amazing what you can do with like spot lighting that's also color tunable in your garden. It's super beautiful, the effects you can make.
Well, George, thank you so much for joining us and telling us all about Hue. I am really excited to put lots of different Hues on my holiday list, and hopefully someone will buy them for me.
Very good.
Thank you so much. George Yanni is the founder of the Hue Lights, the creator of the Hue Lights and head of technology for Hue. And thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for joining us on Triangulation. We record Triangulation every week at 3 p.m.-ish on Fridays. Sometimes we record it before. You can watch whenever you want. Go to twit.tv/try, and you can download it on whatever podcatcher you want. You can watch on YouTube. I am Megan Maroney, and we'll see you next week on Triangulation.